I'd like to thank everyone that submitted their entries for the playwriting competition. The announcement of the top 10 and winners of the competition will be announced on the 3rd of March 2025 on The Talking Point with Kathy Mutlahlana. Stay tuned to SAFM and find out who is the lucky winner. SAFM, leading the conversations that move us. This is the award-winning PBS sports show, Top Sport. Top Sport with Michael Abramson on SAFM.
Our quiz question tonight again, what letter is missing from the sequence? And I will tell you the sport is cricket, so that should help you a little bit. We're talking cricket. What letter is missing? C for Charlie, H for Hotel, L for Lima, R for Romeo, S for Sierra. What letter is missing from that sequence? C-H-L-R-S. Is a letter missing? Tell me which letter and why. Right, the South African side are preparing for their match, the opening match of the ICC Champions Trophy tomorrow in Karachi. They face Afghanistan, potential banana skin, who knows? Chatting to us about that and looking ahead to the match, and indeed looking back on the tournament so far, we're joined by cricket correspondent Kevin Rodimer. Kevin, always great to chat to you. Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Michael. Brilliant. I hope you're doing well as well with your busy day.
It's been busy for both. I promise you we're not going to talk soccer. Both our teams doing really badly. So let's just get into a cricket chat. Kevin, I said potentially this could be a banana skin tomorrow. For South Africa, they're playing against a team who are familiar with conditions. South Africa obviously wasted an opportunity to get to the final of that triangular tournament before this ICC Champions Trophy by losing to both Pakistan and New Zealand. So they haven't had too much cricket other than a warm-up game against the Pakistani Shehans the other day, which they won quite comfortably. But going into this tournament, what does your gut feel tell you about the opening game, and how do you think South Africa might do in terms of a group that avoids both India and Pakistan?
I think, as you said, the conditions are definitely geared towards Afghanistan team, but the Afghanistan team also knows a lot more about the Proteas now. As you know, a lot of their players came to play in the SA20 series recently in the last 2 years, and have actually done unbelievable. People like Noor Ahmed, Rashid Khan, know our batsmen inside and out now, and the conditions will help them. Also remember, Afghanistan have been super successful over the last period. Actually, they just missed out on a semi-final at the last ODI World Cup. They made the semi-final of the T20 World Cup, and they've won 4 of the last 5 bilateral series, where we, I'm sure we'll get into it, are the other side. So momentum's with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You make some really good points there. For South Africa, a lot of batting in the side. I don't know how Coach Rob Walter and the rest of the Brains Trust are going to try and fit all this batting in. There's a debate as to, does Themba Bavuma open the batting, or do they go with their left-handers at the top of the order, and then it means Bavuma potentially might have to bat at 4, in which case it slows the momentum and he puts a man like David Miller potentially in to bat at 7 or down the order. So how do they juggle their batters? Because effectively they've got 9 places and or 9 batters to fit in and maybe 6 or 7 places to put them in.
I'll be very surprised if Bavuma is moved from the opening position. I think, and this is my gut feeling, and looking at some of the discussions within the camp, is that Rickleton and Stubbs will miss out on the opening match. And Bavuma and obviously Tony DeZorzi will open with Rassie coming in number 3. And as you say, we have a strong middle order of Markram, Claassen and Miller. And I think that's where the win or the loss will go. Can we go against their spinners? They're going to bring 3 great spinners into the match. And it'll depend if our middle order on a turning wicket can get some authority, reduce the dot balls, which we saw happened in that opening game with Pakistan and New Zealand. If we can reduce those dot balls, then we can win this game. But the middle order will have to come to the party.
Players like Vian Mulder and Marco Janssen, who of course can perform in so many different disciplines and can give you almost 2 cricketers in one, they're going to be really valuable in this tournament, not so?
I think Mulder's in brilliant form and he adds a lot. We'll just have to see tomorrow whether, like that opening game in Karachi, whether the ball is spinning. It might be a decision between Mulder, Bosch and Shamsi for the 2 of those positions. Mulder's got in the running at this point, but we'll have to see what happens with the wicket tomorrow. He does add brilliance with the bat and the ball at the moment. He had a great SA20, and it'll be great to see him at number 8 or 9 in the batting order.
Kevin, a major concern for the South Africans is the form going into this tournament of bowlers like Lungi Ngidi, Tabraiz Shamsi. They haven't really grabbed the opportunities of late that have come their way. Do you think it's a concern, or have we got enough depth to cover that?
Personally, I think it's a great concern. We gave over 300 runs away against a, as you call it, a Pakistan B team. I think it was 314 runs. Ngidi missed out on a lot of the SA20 games, even though he was available. Shamsi as well is also coming back from an injury, hasn't got any consistency, and we will need some depth in our bowling. We can't always depend on Rabada and on Jansen. I think, especially when we get to the end parts of this competition, two spinners might be vital, and Maharaj will need some help from Shamsi. He has been selected. He does need to do it. And obviously, Ngidi plays a massive role at the end of the innings as well, with his cutters, his slower balls, bowling it into the pitch. But it's tough to see him getting a spot at this point with the form he's in.
Ryan Rickelton, you mentioned that he's likely to miss out tomorrow. His form has been excellent of late in all the different formats of the game. So what would be the logic behind not playing somebody who's in such good form?
I think you said it right at the beginning. We need to try and get 9 people possibly into 7 positions. If you can remember, the MI Cape Town did brilliantly, so a lot of their players also missed out on the two, let's call it warm-up games if you want to, in the bilateral. So I just got a gut feeling listening to the squad that'll be Babuma and Tony Dezorzi. I may be wrong. Rickelton is in brilliant form. He's setting the world alight. But there are hopefully four more games left, if need be. But I don't see him tinkering with that squad too much.
Let me ask you also about your opinion on Rob Walter. He's a man who divides the room effectively. Some are saying he's very out of his depth and the ODI side are not performing. But if you look at his record, he has taken South Africa to the latter stages of a number of tournaments recently. He's been more successful than his predecessors in that regard. Where do you sit in terms of Rob Walter's position at the moment? And do you think it's still pretty secure, or should he be worried?
We had a discussion about this about 3 months ago, and you're correct. We've lost the last 6 ODI games. Like I said, we haven't had a lot of success in the bilaterals. We have lost, if I can remember correctly, the 3 out of the last 4 bilateral series. We haven't been super successful in T20 except for the World Cups. And I think the pressure is on him. You can see the pressure on him already when we lost to Pakistan in South Africa in the last series. He's also still resident in New Zealand, so didn't come out for the SA20 matches. He was following it closely on TV. But it is difficult when you are so far away to follow it closely and to mentor the players. On the positive side, you're 100% correct. Can we ask for more than a semi-final at the ODI World Cup? Can we ask for more than a final at the T20 World Cup? And at the big tournament, he has performed. I think that's his saving grace at this point. But if we do fail again, his head might be on the chopping block. We've lost 6 in a row at the moment. And South Africa, you know, we don't like to be on a losing streak either. Once again, another positive is he hasn't had his strongest side for the last couple of series. Mm. He's also kept 10 new players since the 2023 World Cup. So we've blooded in a lot of youngsters, which I do think will be to our advantage in the future. So it's not all doom and gloom. You have to decide, are we going to concentrate on the big tournaments, the World Cups, the ICC Champions, or are we going to put our eggs in the basket and also concentrate on the bilateral series? Are they important anymore?
So the question then is, how do South Africa perform in this tournament? Let's just look at the two groups. Group A have already all completed their first matches. New Zealand are in excellent form. Of course, they won that warm-up tournament, if you like, beating everybody who was put in front of them, Pakistan twice and South Africa once. And they've started the tournament well. India have started well also. Bangladesh and Pakistan, of course, winless, but still 2 matches to play there. In that group, as things stand at the moment, would you say that, does gut feel tell you that New Zealand and India will make it through into the knockouts, or do you think Pakistan, having home ground advantage, could still make a comeback?
Having a tournament like this where you are playing 3 pool games and only the top 2 go to the semi-finals, you don't really have any leeway for mistakes. I think that Pakistan-New Zealand game was massive. However, we do know Pakistan versus India is coming up. That's always a battle, let me call it a cricket war. And India struggled today against Bangladesh. They were in control, they lost it. Bangladesh's middle order came to the fore. And India was struggling at some point to get the run. A vital drop catch meant they made it quite easily. But I think it will come down to India versus Pakistan. Whoever wins this game, that game, there's already quite a lot of drama around it. So I think that'll be the vital game.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating game to look out for. In our group, South Africa, of course, open tomorrow against Afghanistan. And the next day, it's Australia and England. So tough group to call. I suppose, in a way, South Africa will be grateful they've avoided both India and Pakistan initially as far as the draw is concerned. But which two teams do you, and I know it's a really hard question because nobody's played yet in the tournament, but just on gut feel, and I know you're pretty spot on with your predictions, so which two teams do you anticipate going through from this group?
Well, let's start with this. At least Australia has also lost several of their key players, including Cummins and Stark, which is a massive blow for them. England have no momentum going into this tournament either. However, they are always a strong team. We can never undercut a team with Butler, Archer, Brook, Root, Salt, Rashid. Those are quality names, and I do believe they will perform in the series. Australia themselves have Steve Smith, Travis Head, Maxwell, Zampo, absolute world beaters. Afghanistan, I'm not counting them as a minnow anymore. I think we still see them as a minnow. It's just lonely Afghanistan. But their spinners are absolutely world-class, and their opening batsmen are brilliant. If I had to take a guess, and this is just a guess, I would go for Australia and England, but of course my heart is saying South Africa. But if I was a betting man, I wouldn't go for the 6 losses in a row. But my heart is always in South Africa.
That's really nicely put, Kevin. That's fantastic the way that you've analysed that. As you say, just 3 matches effectively to play, so you have 1 bad match and you can get eliminated. And we know in the history of the tournament it's happened before that big teams of, like Australia, for example, in previous ICC trophies have had their 1 bad match maybe in the middle, and then you're playing catch-up all the time, and sometimes you don't really have room to be able to catch up.
100% correct, and especially if you lose by quite a big margin and net run rate comes into it, and if you've got 4 very equal teams like we do in Pool B, one bad match can be catastrophic. However, I think let's be positive, and I think it will be close. We want to see close cricket. I think in the World Cup, there was a lot of games that didn't go to the wire, too many one-sided games. We want to see good cricket. We want to see good international cricket. This tournament hasn't been played for a while. It's exciting, and it's a very quick tournament. If you win 5 games out of 5, you win the tournament. You could even win 4 out of the 5 and still win. If you can remember, when it started, this tournament was actually a knockout. South Africa won it the first year. It was a plain knockout. You lose 1 game, you're out. You can still lose 1 game and come back, which makes it very exciting. Mm.
How much pressure is there, do you think, on Themba Bavuma going in? Are the expectations high from the cricketing world, not only the South African public, but the cricketing world in general? Is there a lot of pressure on his shoulders, or are there bigger teams that people will be looking out for and South Africa can almost sneak under the radar?
For this tournament, possibly South Africa sneaking under the radar because we're not coming in with momentum. There's always pressure. There's always pressure on Themba Bavuma, whether he's averaging 50 in a test, in test cricket, or whether he's averaging 40, 45 in ODI. There's always pressure. People are always waiting to give him stick. I do believe he's a great leader. He's done amazingly in the test arena, so he cannot be a bad captain. He's got us to the final. I do believe he's a great leader, even though he might not be the most outspoken leader. He leads with the bat. So there's pressure, but at the end of the day, the one big positive is we've got all our best players back. There's no chance for any excuses. We've got the players that we want there, and we have stood up in the moment in the big tournaments.
Right. I don't mean Themba specifically himself. I mean him and the team, effectively. That's what I'm referring to. But him as leader of the team, so the pressure on them.
There's always pressure. It's an international tournament. We haven't won an ICC trophy since 1998. There will always be pressure, and you know, there's the naysayers. They support the team until they lose, and then we drag our heroes down. There'll always be pressure. They're professionals, and they have to deal with that pressure. They have to go out there and they need to win.
Just a final question, Kevin. Squad depth, how important is it going to be for all the teams in this tournament?
I think the further we go down the tournament, the more important it will be. Like I said, if we get one or two bowling injuries now, already with Nokia out, already with a couple of other guys out, it will be vital. I don't know if we do want to be playing Ngidi, for instance, if he's not 100% fit, if he doesn't have any confidence. We cannot go in any of these games with someone with no confidence that's a bit worried where the ball is going to land, especially with the bows. I think we have more than enough depth with the bats. We have more than enough depth with our all-rounders. It's the bowling which worries me the most.
Kevin Rademaier, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your in-depth analysis. And no doubt with the tournament continuing as it does for the next little while, we'll be chatting to you again and finding out how South Africa are doing in that tournament. Enjoy the cricket, and we'll speak to you again soon. Thanks again, as always.
Thank you so much, Michael. Have a lovely evening.